today. Good morning again, everyone, and happy Sabbath. We had such a good Torah study this morning, I'm not real sure how well I can follow this up. But we're going to see what we can do. I think we're going to, over the next few weeks, I would like to look at all the different gifts of the Spirit. And I think each one's important. And I was praying about what our message should be here this week, and it came to me that we should be talking about the gifts of the Spirit. So I think each one would be important enough to deserve its own week. So the Spirit willing, that's what we're going to do over the next few weeks. And we're going to start today the gifts of the Spirit here, part one. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians and read about those gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1, tells us about them. The Apostle Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." Now, before we go on to verse 2, Paul specifically did not want them to be uninformed about spiritual gifts. Why? Why is this so important? Because for every truth of God and the Messiah, Satan has a falsehood, does he not? So Paul did not want them to be uninformed because he wanted them to know what the true gifts of the Spirit were and how to recognize them. I believe that's why he made that statement. Now, in verse 2 says, "You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak." Now, we touched some on that in Torah study this morning because I know the King James and some other translations would say Gentiles there. And I know when you were Gentiles, the word is interchangeable, Gentile, pagan, heathen. And you will notice Paul speaking to the Corinthians here. And if we want to interject the word Gentile there, he said that when you were Gentiles. Very clearly, Paul no longer considered them Gentiles. Amen? And it's kind of like Brother David stepped up there and kind of said to me when we started that one song a while ago, and we both got a good chuckle out of it, so I'll share it with you. He said we should change the words of this song to Jew and former Gentile, one in Messiah. And that might be true. Might be some copyright violations, though. So he clearly no longer considered them Gentiles or pagan or heathen or whatever terminology you would like to put on it. He considered them to be a Jew the same as he was at that point. So, in verse 3 says, "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, 'Let Yeshua be cursed.' And no one can say Yeshua is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So, that's interesting. So, for a fact, if someone says, "Let Yeshua be cursed," they're not speaking by the Spirit of God, are they? Now, that's not the same as what David was talking about earlier. David was talking about him taking our curse upon himself. But in today's present tense, if someone says that about our Messiah, that person is certainly not speaking by the Spirit of God. So I wouldn't care whether that was, whether that would be Muslims, whether that would be Orthodox Jews, which are a little more personal to me. If they say that, they're not speaking by the Spirit of God. If you make statements and they're not by the Spirit of God, then I think we know what Spirit's speaking through you. So, it's important to know that. And when they say Yeshua is Lord, they are speaking by the Holy Spirit. You know. So, very clearly says that if someone says he is Lord, they're speaking by the Holy Spirit. Does it not? It's what Paul says. Now, that may not mean that they're walking in accordance to everyone, but that would certainly be a good starting point for people, would it not? Acknowledging that he is the Lord. And I think sometimes we have to be careful that we're not too condemning of those who may be just at that starting point. They may not be in the walk where we are. Of course, the key is we know scripturally they're supposed to continue on the walk, not stay in that one place. Okay. So, in verse 4 he says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now he says there's a variety of gifts. A variety is a good thing, right? Is it not? A variety is a good thing. It is good to have variety. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. So, it says there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. Now, that could mean a couple of things there, couldn't it? Could be talking about the services that these gifts perform for us. It could be talking about how some people perform their weekly services, could it not? And I know that is another thing, speaking personally, that we have to be careful about, because it's easy to throw rocks at somebody that worships a little different than we do, isn't it? We say, well, they don't have enough spirit over there, or they have too much spirit over there. We need to be careful about that, I think. You know, worry about our own house and maybe not so much others. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in every one. Do you see that? It says there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in every one. Okay? So if your brother or your sister's gift is a little different than yours, don't condemn, because it's from the same God. If we all had the exact same gift, it'd be hard to work together, wouldn't it? Any successful business does what? It has a variety of people capable of different things. The body of the Messiah is no different. If we operate properly as a body in the gifts, we all have a variety of things where we can work well together. We don't all have the same thing. It says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So, each person is given a manifestation of the Spirit. But remember what it says there. It's for the common good. It's not about you or me. It's for the common good. So, when you see someone get way too caught up in the I, me, my, it's on dangerous ground, isn't it? Because if someone, through the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit gives them the gift of healing, for example, do they need to say, I can heal? No. They need to say, God can heal. He can use me, but I do nothing. The Messiah himself told us that when he was here. Did nothing of himself. He did all things through the Father. It's no different for us today. So be careful we don't get into that I, me, my business. He goes on here to tell us, to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. So it's 9 different gifts. Not one, it's 9. And 9 important gifts, each one of them serving a definite purpose. Each one serving a definite purpose in the body so we can all work together. So, it would be wrong of us, would it not, if we said that a brother or sister was lower than us because they had a different gift. It would be equally wrong to elevate someone and say that a brother or a sister was higher or more important because they had a different gift. And we know, I believe that everyone here today would be in accordance with me in saying this. We as an assembly believe in all 9 gifts. All 9 gifts, okay? We believe they should be used properly, but they're just as valid today as the day they were given, are they not? Amen? Because without them, we can't function very well. But we do have certain denominations. I'm not going to name any denominations, and I'm not even going to talk about specific spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. But different denominations will pick out one of these gifts and elevate it. And they'll say, that's the sign that you have the Holy Spirit. And I know multiple denominations that do that about different ones of the gifts. That's not what Paul's saying here, is it? He's already talked very clearly about each one of us will get different gifts. If every one of us in here today was given the interpretation of spirits, and that's the only gift we were given, we wouldn't work too good, would we? I mean, we wouldn't, the discernment of spirits. We wouldn't be, we'd know if somebody else came in here that had a bad spirit, but that'd be about all we'd know. Because we wouldn't have the wisdom or the knowledge or any of the other things we needed to function properly. So, the point Paul is telling us here is that there's a lot of different gifts, 9 of them, and they all serve a purpose in the body together. So, and it very clearly tells us there that the Spirit allots to us each one individually. What does it say? Just as the Spirit chooses. Now, it doesn't say we get to choose which one we get, does it? The Spirit chooses which one we get. Maybe multiple ones. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't pray for a gift, does it? We can earnestly desire and seek them, but we have to understand it's up to the Lord what gift you're given. It's clear here that you will be giving one of these 9 gifts, possibly more. But He chooses, not you, which ones you get. So, that being said, like I said, if the Spirit chooses to let me, over the next 9 weeks, we're going to go over these gifts. And we're going to do them in just the order they were listed in, which means we will start off today with wisdom. And that's the order Paul listed them in, so that's the order we will do them in. I don't think Paul was saying that meant that one was better than the other. That's just simply the order he listed them in. So, to start with wisdom, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 4. Okay? And we're going to start in verse 5. It says, get wisdom, get insight, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever else you get insight. Praise her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a fair garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Amen. Now, first of all, I guess all you guys noticed something here, probably you girls too. It's very interesting that in the Bible, wisdom is given the female gender. So, Did I hear an amen out there? So, maybe, just maybe, and this is not the only place, throughout the Bible, wisdom is given female gender when speaking about the wisdom of God. Just maybe he's telling us guys something. We may need to listen. Good possibility. So, and it tells us, very importantly here, that wisdom leads to what? A beautiful crown. A beautiful crown. Now, when we talk about getting a beautiful crown placed upon our head, where do we always think about being? In the kingdom, in heaven. So, godly wisdom will help lead us to that. So I desire it. I think we all should desire it. Now, also, we do need to point out, wisdom's not always easy, is it? When you get wisdom, that's not always an easy thing. We're not going to read all of his writings about it, but, you know, I think we all know that King Solomon asked for wisdom when God granted him whatever he wanted. That pleased the Lord to the point that he blessed him with many other things. But we can read the writings of King Solomon, and there was times that Solomon regretted having that wisdom. Because with that wisdom came great responsibility, came great knowledge, and it led him to great heartache sometimes. So when we get this wisdom, it is very important in our walk here on this world. But it's not always easy. Don't always think it's going to be, because it's not. Wisdom can cause you heartache. The Word of God shows us that, so I think we should point it out when we're talking about the gift of wisdom. And it tells us, but it tells us there, what we read in Proverbs, that what? We should honor and embrace wisdom. So because it's not always easy doesn't mean we should turn away from it, does it? It says to honor and embrace it. It also says wisdom will guard you and you'll not be led astray. So that would be a very important thing about wisdom, wouldn't it? To not be led astray. Now we also need to point out that in the Bible there's two types of wisdom spoken about. There's one of God and there's one of the flesh. We don't need to confuse the two. James chapter 3 tells us about that. Excuse me. Starting in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth, for such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. So we see there the first sign that someone's wisdom is not from above, that is in fact from the devil, is if they become boastful. Kind of like we were talking about a while ago. They become a full of I, me, my. I can heal. I can prophesy. I can whatever the gift might be. If they become boastful about it, says here it's not from God. It's actually from Satan. And James goes on here and says in 16, for where there is envy and self-ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. So, the wisdom that comes, the gift of wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit is what? It's peaceful. It's gentle. It brings a harvest of righteousness. It's full of mercy, good fruits. It doesn't have a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. It's willing to yield. So, how does that tell us that we should deal with other people? Peaceably, with gentleness, be willing to yield. We don't often think of that, do we? Because it's real easy when someone challenges your beliefs to not deal with it in the manner that the Word of God tells us to. But if we have godly, the spirit of wisdom from the Holy Spirit here from God, He tells us how we will. We'll be willing to yield. And the Messiah told us, in fact, the same thing, did He not? Now, yielding does not mean that you say you're right. Yielding simply means that you don't force them to believe what you believe. Because what did the Messiah tell us about that very thing? See, He was teaching us some of that wisdom. That if you enter into a town or in someone's house or wherever, and you try to speak the truth from them and they will not accept it, what do you say to do? Shake the dust off your feet and move on. And He also told us not to cast our pearls where? Before swine. So, that would be part of that godly wisdom, would it not? That would be part of that willing to yield. Yield doesn't mean we say you're right and I'm wrong. It just means we'll let you believe what you choose to believe if you're not willing to listen to the truth. We're not going to get angry. We're going to be peaceful and gentle. We're not going to get angry about it. You know, one of the first signs, if you see a preacher or a teacher or someone, one of the first signs that they can't back their doctrine from the Bible is when they get angry. When they get angry and they turn red in the face and a little bit of spittle starts going and stuff, you know, that is to take the focus off the fact that they can't use godly wisdom and be gentle and peaceful and present the truth. Now, I'm not saying that that means that a godly man never gets angry. That's, you know, like Brother David was talking about, and I'm guilty along with him. I'm still a sinner. I'm not perfect yet. Striving to get there, but I'm not there yet. So it doesn't mean that we can't get angry, but you know the ones I'm talking about. Some people, that's always their defense. If they get angry and they talk louder than you, if they yell, you'll knuckle under, they think. But really, they're not backing anything here, and that's not the way the spirit of wisdom works. It talks about being gentle and meek. So it also tells us here in Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 20, wisdom cries out in the street, in the squares, she raises her voice. At the busiest corner, she cries out at the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Okay, well, we got that female thing again there, don't we? So, I think there is a message there for us, and we should listen to it. But in all seriousness, the Scripture makes it real clear that the wisdom is what? The wisdom from the Spirit is available to us. It's crying out. It's crying out, you know, in the busiest corners and the streets and, you know. So, that would lead us to the question in verse 22. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? And that reminds me of a statement, a worldly statement. What do people always say? Ignorance is bliss. How many of you here have heard that statement? I've heard it many times. Okay. I may have used it before. I'm not sure if I have, but I may have. I don't know. I hope not. But the Word of God here begs us the question, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? And I think that would lead us to this question. Why? I mean, that's what the spirit of the flesh wants us to be, is it not? Ignorant? Why? Why does the spirit of the flesh want us to be ignorant? Let's go to Hosea chapter 4. Verse 6. The Word of God says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." That's why the spirit of the flesh wants us to reject wisdom, because wisdom leads to knowledge. And if you reject that knowledge, you reject that wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit, not only will you be lost, but your children will also. Now, if we seek godly wisdom, the Word of God tells us the exact opposite happens. And we find that in Psalms chapter 37. Starting in verse 30, it says, "The mouths of the righteous utter wisdom, and their tongues speak justice. The law of their God is in their hearts. Their steps do not slip." Amen? Their steps do not slip. So we have two distinct scriptures there telling us the exact opposite things, correct? The one telling us that if we reject, not only ourselves, but our children are going to be lost. And the other telling us that if we accept it, we will not slip. So, we need His wisdom. I certainly need His wisdom. I think each one of us here do, because if we have that earthly wisdom, if we get caught up in that fleshly thinking we know something, it's all about self, it's not about God, it's going to lead us to our damnation. It's going to lead us to our children's damnation, to our grandchildren's damnation. The Word of God says to the third and fourth generation. But if we accept it, it will lead us to not slip. And I would think it would be safe to say when the Word of God talks about there, their steps not slipping, it's talking about what? It's talking about walking upright with God, which means righteous. Because it says the mouths of the righteous utter wisdom. Now, His wisdom is what we need, not ours. In 1 Corinthians, Paul has something to say about His wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25 says, "For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength." So it tells us there that God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. Now, does that mean God's foolish? No, doesn't mean God's foolish. What that means is in the human mind, we're not even capable of grasping or understanding God's wisdom in the human mind and in the flesh. But when we're talking about wisdom here today and this gift from the Holy Spirit, He will grant us that wisdom through the Holy Spirit. He will grant us that wisdom that in the flesh we can't even understand. And that is one reason, that is one of the reasons why when you change your life and you truly become a godly person, most people who were formerly your friends and a lot of your family can no longer what? They can no longer understand you. They think you're nuts because their mind in the flesh is not capable of understanding godly wisdom. And you are not, and I am not, except for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the acceptance of it. That is the only way. The only way. So, when you accept this wisdom and the world thinks you're nuts, say hallelujah. Praise the Lord, I'm crazy. Now, so we've established we want some of that wisdom, right? All right. How do we get it? We ask him. And Ecclesiastes chapter 2 tells us something else. Tells us it's a real good promise. I love those verses that have a promise to them. Ecclesiastes 2 and 26 says, "For to the one who pleases him, God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and heaping only to give them to the one who pleases God. This also is vanity and chasing after the wind." So, if you choose to live a life of sin, of disobedience to God, everything you're doing and seeking to gain on this world according to the Word of God is chasing after the wind. But if you please God, if you seek a life of obedience to God that is pleasing to Him, walking in His statutes, walking upright with Him, He promises what there? That He will give you that wisdom. And not only the wisdom, but the one we're going to discuss next week, the knowledge. So we already have a double promise there from one verse, that if we seek to please Him, He will give us that wisdom and that knowledge. And that's the wisdom of His that confounds the wise of this world. Amen. We can have it. Now, what is the key to this right status with God, this pleasing with God? Obedience, that's a big part of it, right? And Colossians also tells us, Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, we find out the key for us. "I want their hearts to be encouraged and united in love, so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, that is Messiah Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am saying this so that no one may deceive you with plausible arguments." Amen. Where's the wisdom come from? What's the key to us? Messiah. The Yeshua, the Messiah, translated Jesus the Christ, whichever you prefer to call Him. He is the key for us. As we were talking about in Torah study today, there is no other way. Now, Paul did tell you that he was telling you that. Why? That no one might be able to deceive you with plausible arguments. So this mystery of Messiah Yeshua, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom, people can make arguments against it that sound plausible, can they not? Paul tells you that right there. He says, plausible arguments. So they can make a plausible argument against you. Guess what? Hold the Word of God. Don't let their good-sounding, plausible-sounding arguments shake your faith. Because they do not have the wisdom of God that you can have through the Holy Spirit. They do not understand the mystery of the Messiah Yeshua. They are not capable of it without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So let it be. You will never find common ground with them until they do. Amen? You cannot. What fellowship does light have with dark? Absolutely none, according to the Word of God. So, we're going to close with a couple thoughts here. One, stand firm in the Messiah Yeshua. Remember, He is your strength. He is the one that gives you the Spirit. Because what did He tell the apostles? It will be better for you once I'm gone. Because when He walked this earth, His Spirit dwelled within Him the same as yours does. When He ascended to the heavens, He poured his spirit out upon them on a specific day of Pentecost. Okay? So that is the key, and stand firm in that. Number two, very simple. Let's all pray for that godly wisdom. Let's all pray for that godly wisdom. And that is what we have today on wisdom. Next week we will pick up with knowledge. Let's all stand together and read our blessings. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.